Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. And we're reading Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 19, verse 7. Iti vyavachidya sa pandaveya prayopavesham prati vishnupadyam dado mukundangrim ananyabhavo Munivrito Mukta Samasta Sangha Iti Vavachidya Sapandaveya Prayopavesham Prativishnupadyam Dado Mukundangrim Ananyabhavo Munivrito Mukta Samasta Sangha Iti Vavachidya Sapandaveya Prayopavesham Prativishnupadyam Dado Mukundangrim Ananyabhavo Munivrito Mukta Samasta Sangha. Yo Pavesham Prati Vishnu Padyam Dado Mukundangrim Ananya Bhavo Munivrito Mukta Samasta Sangha Iti Vavachidya Sapandaveya Prayopavishtam Prativishnupadyam Dado Mukundangrim Ananyabhavo Munivrito Mukta Samasta Sangha Anyone else? Iti vavachidya sapandaveya prayopavesham prativishnupadyam dado mukundangrim ananyabhavo munivrito mukta samasta sangha. And ladies? Iti vavachidya sapandaveya prayopavesham prativishnupadyam dado mukundangrim ananyabhavo munivrito mukta samasta sangha. Iti, thus, vyavachidya, having decided, sa, the king, Pandaveya, worthy descendant of the Pandavas, Praya Upavesham, for fasting until death, Prati, toward, Vishnupadyam, on the bank of the Ganges, emanating from the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. Dado gave himself up, Mukunda Angrim, unto the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. Ananya, without deviation. Bhava, spirit, Munivrata, with the vows of a sage, mukta, liberated from, samasta, all kinds of, sangha, association. Thus the king, the worthy descendant of the Pandavas, decided once and for all and sat on the Ganges bank to fast until death and give himself up to the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, who alone is able to award liberation. So, freeing himself from all kinds of association and attachment, he accepted the vows of a sage. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The water of the Ganges sanctifies all the three worlds, including the gods and the demigods, because it emanates from the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead Vishnu. Lord Krishna is the fountainhead of the principle of Vishnu Tattva. Therefore, shelter at his lotus feet can deliver one from all sins, including an offense committed by a king unto a brahmana. Maharaj Parikshit, therefore, decided to meditate upon the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna, who is Mukunda, or the giver of liberations of all description. The banks of the Ganges or the Jamuna give one a chance to remember the Lord continuously. Maharaj Parikshit freed himself from all sorts of material association and meditated upon the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. And that is the way of liberation. To be free from all material association means to cease completely from committing any further sins. To meditate upon the lotus feet of the Lord means to become free from the effects of all previous sins. The conditions of the material world are so made that one has to commit sins willingly or unwillingly. And the best example is Maharaj Parikshit himself, who was a recognized sinless, pious king. But he also became a victim of an offense, even though he was ever unwilling to commit such a mistake. He was cursed also, but because he was a great devotee of the Lord, even such reverses of life became favorable. The principle is that one should not willingly commit any sin in his life and should constantly remember the lotus feet of the Lord without deviation. Only in such a mood will the Lord help the devotee make regular progress toward the path of liberation and thus attain the lotus feet of the Lord. Even if there are accidental sins committed by a devotee, the Lord saves the surrendered soul from the sins, as confirmed in the scriptures. Sapada mulam bhajata priyasya tattan yabhavasya hari paresha vikarma yach chot patitim katan chit dunoti sarvam riddhi sannivishta. That's 11.5.42. One who has thus given up all other engagements and has taken full shelter of the lotus feet of Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is very dear to the Lord. Indeed, if such a surrendered soul accidentally commits some sinful activity, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is seated within everyone's heart, immediately takes away the reaction to such sin. Om Gana Timirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chaksuna Militanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swa Padantikam Vande Ham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Saja Jatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Sabadutam Parijana Sahita Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvisesha Sunyavari Paschacha Desatarane. Vanchakalpa Chubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhye Vicha Patitanam Pavane Vyo Vaishnave Vyo Namaha. Namo Mahavaranaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namani Gora Tvishe Namaha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagat Pate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate. Tapta Kanchana Gorange Radhe Vrindavanishari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye. Krishna Tadiya Padapanka Japanjarantam Adyaiva Me Visitu Manasaraja Hansan Prana Pranama Samaye Kapavatta Pittai Kantavaro Dhanavido Smaranam Kutaste. You know that one? How Prabhupada translated that one? Let me die now, he said. Shortened it, but. Well, I can still chant. I don't know how long it's going to be. I can still talk. Savas had to give up yesterday, but I think I still have the Delhi air, too. Vrindavan is also. So he gave up everything, and this is Krishna's direction. Sarva Dharmam Parichaja Mahamekam Sharanam Praja. To Arjuna, also to Uddhava, one of the last instructions, he said, Tvam tu sarvam parichaja sneham jana bandushu mayavesha manak samyak samadrig vicharasvakam. You should completely give up attachment to your personal friends and relatives and fix your mind on me. Thus always being conscious of me, you should observe all things with equal division and wander throughout the earth. The same instructions come up again and again. And here we see Maharaj Bricket just doing that. Freed himself from all association and attachments. And as a king, there's a lot of attachments, a lot of association. He had family, he was young, whole kingdom. Even his enemies would come and offer respects and pay the taxes because he was so highly respected, but he just gave it all up. He also could have had the power to counteract the curse, but he didn't want to do that. Accepted all as Krishna's will. It says because he was a pure devotee, can turn, you know, the apparently bad things into something good, which is a good trick. So Lord Chaitanya very kindly, and Krishna is saying, you know, surrender to me, give up everything. And not so easy, that's the way Prabhupada puts it, you know, how to surrender, giving up everything, because especially in Kali Yuga, life is short and concentration is not very strong. To just meditate on the lotus feet of the Lord, sit down in one place, you know, we get restless, right? Just sit on the bank of the Ganga. Although we hanker for that, Bhaktivinoda said, you know, kabhi habi, when kabhi navadvipe suraduna tate gora nichananda boli nishkapa. When will I, you know, dance on the bank of the Ganga, chanting like a madman, gora nitai, not caring for anything else, and rolling on the ground. But Lord Chaitanya, he very kindly gave us this Sankirtan movement and the chanting of the Maha Mantra, the Maha Jagya, and accepts that when we're chanting as pure surrender. Of course, there's that catch always, offenseless chanting. But so we, because sometimes we might wonder, well, I've been chanting for so long, and you know, I'm not getting any love for God yet. I'm not getting any whatever. But we don't know, because Lord Chaitanya promises again and again in Chaitanya Charitamrita, the end of almost every chapter, you know, one who hears these pastimes with faith and devotion, recites them, or, you know, spreads the holy name, he will get this Gauranga Prema, or the Krishna Prema. You get the love of Godhead. So I'm very, thank everybody for, I see a Saturday, so big attendance. And I didn't know I was giving class until I heard Savas give the announcement. But I always think I should be like Jayananda. He would always say, no, 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 there's somebody better than me, you know. And he wouldn't, generally, it was very hard to get him to speak in the class. But he was genuinely humble. But there's a lot, you know, we have so much mercy. This verse I just read from the Bhagavatam gives us some idea of Krishna. There's some quote from Equal Vision in Viragava. One who's on the path of self-realization should endeavor to see the ultimate spiritual nature of all existence. So there was a meeting once with Prabhupada and many, many book distributors, and somebody said, we will become self-realized or purified by distributing books. And Prabhupada said, you're already self-realized. Otherwise, why would you distribute books to these people if you didn't realize Krishna's in their heart? You know, right? Seeing everyone equally. And we see the real book distributors like we have here, some of them. Everyone is equal. They just approach everyone, doesn't matter. And get right through all the modes of nature. Srila Prabhupada, to the maximum, did that. He didn't consider anybody's modes of nature, anybody's, you know, disturbed mind or past sinful activities. The fact that Krishna sent them and they would chant the holy name or they would listen to him talk, he just spoke right to the soul, so that way he influenced everybody. So even the material nature has a spiritual status, because they're both coming from the Lord. And Krishna says, Samoham Sarva Bhuteshu Name Dvesti Sanapriya. I'm equal to everyone. I'm not envious of anyone. So this is Krishna, and this is our mood, Lord Chaitanya's mood, the Panchatattva's mood. They did not discriminate time or place or who or what. They just distributed this love of Godhead everywhere. So this is our real mission. But there's a very interesting in this purport from the 11th canto where Krishna is saying to Uddhava, give up all, you know, everything, give up all your association. And but then he told Uddhava also to stay for a while. First he told him, don't stay on the earth after I leave, because it's going to be Kali Yuga and things are going to get really bad. But then he told him, you have to stay for a little while. So Krishna was thinking in his mind, I've satisfied the desires of all the devotees who wanted to see me. I've duly married thousands of queens headed by Rukmini, and I kidnapped and I killed many demons all over the planet by various means. I've gone to many reunions and ceremonies with many friends, relatives, and cities like Vrindavan, Mathura, Dwarka, Hastinapur, and Mathila. And I've kept busy coming and going, performing my pastimes. And I also arranged to give my personal association to great devotees below the heavenly, earthly planet. To get my, please my mother, I went down and found the six deceased sons. I went to Sutala to meet Bali Maharaj, to get the dead son of my spiritual master, Sandipani Muni. I went to the court of Ravi Nandana Yamaraj, and he was able to see me. I blessed the residents of heaven, like Mother Aditi, when I went there to steal the Parijata flower for Satyabhama. and to please the inhabitants of Mahavishnu's abode, like Nanda, Sunanda, and Sudarshan, I went to Maha Vaikuntha Loka to get the deceased children of the frustrated Brahman. So everyone who wanted to see me received the object of their prayers. But then he says I wasn't able to go to visit Narayan Rishi and the great people in Bhadarik Ashram. And they were most enthusiastic to see me. Now that's interesting because Narayan Rishi is Krishna and Arjuna also. But Krishna's expansions are non-different, but they're separate. So that's why he said, I was too busy. Now it's time to leave, but I've been too busy. So he's telling Uddhava, you're almost the same as me, so you should go there and tell them what you hear from me, his last instructions. So Krishna is thinking so much of all the devotees. And so he comes himself. Now he sends his representatives. Comes himself, especially merciful, Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, and that's not very long ago. Just 500 years. So in the history, even the so-called known history of people, they don't know very much, but that's not very long. Still, the places are there. You know, the deities that were installed are still there. The movement is still going on. Prabhupada is stressing that this Krishna conscious movement is just continuation of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Because what are we doing? We're going to the temple. He went every day to the temple of Jagannath, danced. Whenever he visited temple, he would dance for hours. People would see him dancing. They would start dancing and chanting. They would go to their villages, and everybody would start dancing and chanting. And devotees saw that when they traveled in South India. Some villages, they're all chanting Hare Krishna, but nobody knows where it came from. Just started so long ago. But they're doing the same kirtan. And now, by Prabhupada's amazing grace, it's all over the world. And Prabhupada, they danced, you know, very enthusiastically, and everybody started dancing. We had that movie of the 1974 Rath Yatra, San Francisco. And I remember I was on the stage, and Prabhupada, something was going on for a while, then he got up, and at least I was thinking he's going to leave now, but he walked to the edge, and then he started jumping, and like when his hands went up, everybody's hands went up. I was watching, and like 10,000 people out there, everybody's hands went up, everybody started jumping. That's the power of Prabhupada, and then he's got the whole world, and still more and more is spreading all over the place. So it's our mission to take this up. So it's nice to be here where we were just with Ramaswara Prabhu, and he was saying how it all started here, you know, the different stages of the book distribution and the marathons. And it's still going on, and it's still inspiring the whole world. So we were reading Chaitanya Charitamrita, and Lord Chaitanya is the gardener, and then the tree and the branches, and he says, like a big fig tree gets fruits all over the body, each part of this tree of devotional service bore fruit. You ever try to pick figs in a fig tree? There's so many figs that you can't imagine. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the original trunk. The taste of the fruits that grew on the branches and sub-branches surpassed the taste of nectar. The fruits ripened and became sweet and nectarine. The gardener, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, distributed them without any price. All the wealth of the three worlds cannot equal the value of one such nectarine fruit of devotional service. Who knows how those fruits are manifesting now? You know, right? At least my opinion is Prabhupada's books. they're just spreading all over in so many more languages. And like we tell people, there's no, we can't put a price really on love of Godhead. We can't put a price on, you know, personal association with Srila Prabhupada and the devotees. So not considering who asked for it and who didn't, nor who was fit and who was unfit to receive it, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu distributed the fruit of devotional service. So Prabhupada did that, came to the apparently degraded part of New York City, the headquarters of degradation in the world. And anybody who came, he just gave them Krishna, gave the holy name, gave his books. So this gardener, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, distributed handful after handful of fruit in all directions. And when the poor, hungry people ate the fruit, he was smiled in great pleasure. Lord Chaitanya addressed the multifarious varieties of branches and sub-branches of the tree of devotional service. Since the tree of devotional service is transcendental, every one of its parts can perform the action of all the others. Although a tree is supposed to be immovable, this tree moves. All the parts of the tree are spiritually cognizant, and thus they grow, they spread all over the world. I am the only gardener. How many places can I go? How many fruits can I pick and distribute? It would certainly be very laborious task to pick the fruit and distribute them alone. And still I suspect that some would receive them and others wouldn't. Therefore, I order every man within the universe to accept this Krishna conscious movement and distribute it everywhere. If I do not distribute these fruits, what will I do with them? How many can I eat by myself? So, this is a very strong order, but, and Prabhupada took it very, very seriously, as we know. The same thing, he just immediately was, you know, he was alone, and he had manuscripts and only a few books. He only had 100 or 200 sets of the first canto. But he had manuscripts up to like the third canto or something. And right away he just said, yeah, you know, somebody want to do some service, you can type this. And he was just pushing everybody to get the books published, distribute the books, to go everywhere. In the very early days, Prabhupada had a globe and he was saying, you know, how devotees could go. And there was only a few devotees in Lower East Side of New York. And they were couldn't imagine, you know, going to other... But very shortly, Prabhupada was sending people all over the world. Like, you know, one program in India, some heckler, you know, was criticizing and saying, you know, why aren't you preaching in Pakistan? So Prabhupada immediately wrote Garga Muni and Brahmananda and told him to go to Pakistan. And they did. And when he found out there was a war, he wrote back and told him, don't go, but they already gone. Just in a few days. And it was very, very tough, but somehow they survived. But Prabhupada, and still, that order is there, you know, every town and village. There's so many places where devotees haven't been. Books are going, you know, that's why it's a big mridanga. Books are going all over the world to all kinds of people. Last night, when we started the Harinam, there was a family, and they were obviously Muslims. And the one Mataji was in the front with her baby just dancing like crazy for a long time. And then we walked, and on the way back we met them again. And they stopped again. And again, they all started. They had two twin babies, and they were holding the baby and dancing all over. So we gave them some books, and they got all excited. And they were from Iraq. But they live in America now, I mean. But they were like, what is this all about, you know? So the holy name attracts everybody. So we can't, maybe, like now I'm speaking here, Prabhupada used to say I'm speaking, and you can hear it now, you know, because he was recording, so those recordings are going everywhere, and now you can find all of them online, and in so many different places and ways, and we're speaking here, but anyone in the world can tune in to LALive.us, right? And it's spreading. Probably much more people usually than come to the temple. Devotees, even like in Northern California, they go to Mangal Arati and everything. Even devotees that live across the street go. But so Lord Chaitanya was pushing this, distribute. And that's just what I, from the first time I ever read this, I thought these fruits of this is Prabhupada's books in Prabhupada. They're just full of love of Godhead. And Chaitanya Charitamrita especially, almost every chapter promises, you know, if you hear these pastimes and you attentively, and you then you will get this love of Godhead. So there are innumerable fruits of love of Godhead by the mercy of the Lord. And distribute this Krishna consciousness all over the world. If people eat these fruits and ultimately become free from old age and death. One of the big book distributors in England, he tells people, these books are about freedom. You know, people like that. Then he says, freedom from birth, death, disease, and old age. And they usually perk up quite a bit. Because everybody's, you know, afraid of getting old, afraid of dying. So much endeavor is being in the world for anti-aging, right? Very attractive advertising everywhere. I think that this place across the street, one time I was here, it said, you know, 10 years younger in 30 minutes or something. If you go there and get this, whatever they do. And you see that all over the world. And I go to these, you know, places and where there's a lot of tourists and spas, and they're all anti-aging, so many different things. But better to grow old, you know, body is going to grow old anyway, but like Prabhupada, he didn't consider himself old. He would say that, I'm an old man, when he said, don't waste film. But when one devotee offered, I wish I could give you my young body, and, you know, and I'd take your old body, Prabhupada said, no, we're all young. He didn't identify with the body, and because he had full consciousness, he was had complete faith in Krishna. So if we can link up in whatever way we can, because everything we do in the ISKCON society is set up for spreading the fruits everywhere, the prasadam, the darshan, the deities, the sadhu sangha, association of devotees, sadhu sangha, sarva sangha, Sarva Shastra Koi, Lava Matra Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhi Hoi. Who knows how much a lava is? Huh? The learned scholar of the 1/11th of a second. Association with devotees is the perfection of all perfections. That's a really quick, you know, if you have a stopwatch, I don't think anybody could click that fast, right? If you click as fast as you can, how much? It'd be a few seconds, maybe. So we can't imagine, you know, when people see the Harinam, when people even just, Prabhupada said, if they even touch the book, they get so much benefit. What to speak if they carry it home? What to speak if they read it, you know? So we have to be praying, and all these people will read the books. So many people have books. Many say they read a little bit. Some say they have. Many say they haven't read anything. So we need the temples. We need places. We need festivals where we can gather people together and give them association with devotees and get association ourselves, because it's the most important thing. Sadhu Sangha means chanting the holy name, reading, you know, discussing Krishna pastimes, not just talking about the mundane world, but Then Lord Chaitanya says, if these fruits are distributed all over the world, my reputation as a pious man will be known everywhere, and people will glorify my name with great pleasure. So that's happening also. Of course, Prabhupada didn't say that, but he's become very, very famous. Many people. I was even in Greece one time, and one girl, she wasn't responding very much when I was trying to give her a book. And then I turned it over, and she saw Prabhupada's picture. I know him, I know him, I know that man, I know that. It completely changed. Because somehow she'd, you know, I guess many people have shown her books, so she just understood that Prabhupada, other than just seeing me, she didn't feel much. And just seeing the Krishna book, she didn't understand. But so these things are going on. So one who takes his birth in a human being in the land of India should make his life successful and work for the benefit of all other people. So we try to engage the Indians also. And that one got a big purport. It's the duty of every living being to perform welfare activities for the benefit of others with his life, wealth, intelligence, and words. But when I was first in this temple, the mantra cards we had said the highest welfare work. Anybody remember those? Where does that come from? From the Gopi Gita? Huh? Tavakatamrita tapta jivanam. Buddhida janaha. You were the most merciful. You were the most munificent. You were the most may. It's the most munificent work. The best thing for the souls that tapta jivanam, burning up in the material world, is kata. Tava katamritam. Kavibir uiditam. Srimadatatam. The great souls are spreading this. And then one who's doing it is buddhida janaha. The most munificent. And Lord Chaitanya especially liked that verse when he was apparently resting and King Pratapa Rudra chanted that verse. Lord Chaitanya jumped up and embraced him and started dancing and said, you are Buddha, you are the most munificent. Munificent, that means like giving much more mercy than anyone deserves, you know, for no reason. Just giving mercy. So that's the Sankirtan movement. We're very fortunate to be in it and to be in such a disciplic succession and to be around so many great devotees. And it's very enlivening. I was just in New York with Ram Roy's party, the Yuga Dharma Ashram, and that was quite a privilege. But the special thing about it, everybody's young. And they're just totally, you know, they're like the, it's like the Navy SEALs, they say now, right? Anybody remember the Green Berets? Anybody that old? What happened to them? You know, it used to be they were the big heroes. I never hear about them anymore. But, you know, they're out there. And here we have many of those too, but they're sprinkled around in the midst of everything. And they're doing it in a very difficult place in the New York subway tunnels. But miraculously, people take those seven books, you know. Phenomenal thing. But that's Lord Chaitanya's mercy. When devotees desire, you know, anything can happen. So Prabhupada started with nothing. He had very old age, you know, normal. His retirement age now, 70, right, in America. But he started his movement. I mean, he started earlier, but he really got it going by leaving India and coming here with no money and unknown. Nobody heard of Krishna practically. Distributing Srimad Bhagavatam, which was unknown. Bhagavad Gita was a little bit known. But we didn't know about it. I know, like, all of us read Ralph Waldo Emerson and Henry David Thoreau in high school or junior high school. They never told us they read Bhagavad Gita. Right? They were the American transcendentalists, and that they had their inspiration from Bhagavad Gita and other Vedas. So I would thank everybody for tolerating me, and I know you all like to hear, so the best thing is, you know, Prabhupada's books. And the more we read them, the more we get association. By the words, thoughts, and works, an intelligent man must perform actions which will be beneficial for all entities in this life and the next. Krishna says that in the Bhagavad Gita also quite a few times, working for the welfare of all, right? So how can you do that except by spreading the Krishna conscious movement, by serving the root? You know, Krishna is the root of everything. Otherwise, it won't work. We were walking in Vrindavan, and Prabhupada, and there was one Indian, you know, typical Indian guy talking to Prabhupada. I didn't hear what they were saying. But then Prabhupada, there was a big tree, and he pointed that tree, and he said to him, "Do you see that tree?" And he said, "Yes." Prabhupada said, "Could you water every leaf on that tree?" And he said, "No." And then Prabhupada laughed. He said, "Even if you could, it wouldn't help the tree. You know, you have to water the root." And he said, "But you have Gandhi disease, but we'll cure you from that." He said, "Don't worry." And everybody laughed. And so we can't save everybody. You know, I get all sentimental in Vrindavan about the cows. And I just heard, like, Kurma Rupa Prabhu got frustrated too because he couldn't help all the cows. They just keep increasing the number of homeless cows. And here, just, you know, how can we help all the homeless people? Everybody's homeless, actually. Some think they're not. They have their, you know, whatever they have. But they're also lost and bewildered. And we can't help them one by one except by, you know, giving as many people as possible the holy name and Krishna and prasadam and books. Then that's pleasing to Krishna, and that gradually everything become better. When we get about 800,000 devotees in LA, then we can take over 10%, right? So we have a long way to go. So any comments or questions? Or comments are better. Savas has lost his voice again. Huh? Can't talk. Yeah, LA is quite clean. You know, when I first came here from Tokyo, there was some kind of meeting. Devotees were coming from all over, and everybody was crying and saying, "My eyes are." I was thinking, "Wow, this place is great. You know, fresh air." That's all relative, you know, it depends on what you're comparing things. Yeah. We have a microphone. And we have 5 minutes.
Thank you, Maharaj. I had a question because I had a doubt. I recently heard Jananda Goswami, Solanish Jananda Goswami, and he was speaking, I think it was his offering to Srila Prabhupada, and he said that it was Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's mission to go to the West. But Srila Prabhupada, in his heart, he wanted to save the Indians because he said, "We engage the Indians." But he was saying that Srila Prabhupada's heart was to actually to save the Indians. You know, from a young age, he was trying to save the Indians. That's why he was attracted to the Gandhi's movement. And he was also arguing with Bhaktisiddhanta. So could you share any insight on that?
Yeah, I just was hearing something about that. Prabhupada speaking recently, but you can see now how the Indians are very important for maintaining our temples, and a lot of young ones are becoming preachers, you know. So it wasn't like some sentiment that Prabhupada's Indian and he felt, you know, but it's Krishna's land, so he felt bad. Like I heard Prabhupada didn't like to ride on Air India because he didn't like to see those Indian girls serving meat and everything. You know, it was disturbing. So he felt compassionate for them. And in the West, you know, he got everything started and he put so much energy and he continued to put energy. But he also needed, you know, for us, if you read Shamasundar's volume 2, you know how Prabhupada was getting Bombay, Vrindavan, and Mayapur started, you know, with such huge endeavor. But all that money came from the West. Practically nothing came from India in the early days. So that we would be able to go to the Holy Land and stay there and get purified and also preach to the Indians, you know, because they listened. And things have changed so much. When I was first in India in 78 or 9, whenever it was, you know, I mean, one lady said, just leave us alone, you know, let us get the big skyscrapers and all the highways and everything. Then you can preach to us. You know. Leave us alone. You people have all this advancement already. But now they're more advanced. And so Prabhupada, you know, it was not just the West, because he says Paschatya, East and West. You know, Bhaktisiddhanta focused on India, but he wanted to go, they say, you know, and he was telling everybody to go to the West, but nobody did until Prabhupada did. But we get a lot of, you know, devotees now, and they're preaching all over, and it's affecting. So it's just Prabhupada was for everybody. He's the whole, the Chaitanya Charitamrita says the whole universe, not just Earth, you know. And then in the purport, it's a very interesting one. Prabhupada says, you may wonder how can this spread all over the universe. But he said, just like in 10 years it spread all over the world, nobody can explain how that happened. You know, just like, so in the same way, and we can, I don't know if it's speculation, but the demigods are coming to Earth to join the movement. They go back to their planets. And devotees, you know, will go anywhere, even to hell, Prabhupada said, London. Famous one. But it said at many places. So devotees would take birth in different places, depending on what Krishna wants, or new devotees are coming up. So it's spreading all over the world. There's devotees, for, you know, everywhere in the world. Books are, go everywhere somehow. Now with the internet, you know, people are on the internet all over the world, even in places where it's blocked, because you can always get the, what do they call it? You know, you can get the internet even when it's blocked. You just pay a little bit. Yeah. Haribol?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Just a clarification or curious comment that where did this, where is the source of this that Srila Prabhupada's heart was saving the Indians? Yeah, so where did that come from? Where is the source of that? Because I've never heard that before. I'm just curious.
Yeah, that's what I just heard some devotee, you know, saying that. I don't know if it was Brahmananda or what. Somebody that, you know, he spent a lot of time in India, but I don't ever read that he said, this is my real mission or anything. He had the whole world.
Yeah, that's what I understood.
But the energy he was putting into India was to get Bombay, Vrindavan, and Mayapur established.
Because it was a natural field.
And that was for the international devotees. That was his intention.
Yeah, I mean, that's a natural field, but we can understand that. But I've always understood that Srila Prabhupada was the preacher of the world. And not that something, a specific place was in his heart. Certainly, his heart was to improve the conditions that were there in India and reawaken them. But what was in his heart, I don't know if we can speculate or conjecture that this was Srila Prabhupada's mood. And that was Srila Bhakti Siddhanta's mood. I don't understand that either, because Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, as far as I can understand, was an international soul.
Yeah, that's why he did so much in English. You know. And he told all his disciples to go to the West. It was a general order. It wasn't that only Prabhupada was told that.
Yeah. Srila Prabhupada explained his strategy very clearly. There's no room for debate. He said the lame man and the blind man. India has the knowledge, the culture. By birth, he said, they're all Krishna conscious. It's just that the leaders are misleading them. And the West has the technology and the ability to do things that the Indians couldn't do because they were at that time poverty-stricken, supposedly, materially. So he brought both together. That was his strategy. He clearly explained that. He also explained philosophically what he was doing. One Indian, he had a conversation where he said, because people criticized that the devotees didn't know much, this scripture, that, they couldn't pronounce Sanskrit properly. He said, but they follow me. I tell them Krishna's God and they accept it. If I tell you that Krishna's God, you bring so many other gods. What about this God, that God, that God? So that's why he brought both together. One side completely accepted Krishna's God. The other side gradually realized Krishna's God by associating with those who accept it. So Prabhupada explained the strategy. It's nothing to speculate about. He explained exactly what he was doing. Bombay is my office. You know, he explained everything. He did everything exactly the way he explained it. So, and he's obviously coming straight from Krishna Loka, and he's bringing everybody back to Krishna Loka. There was no, you know, upadi. I mean, Prabhupada's claiming all the time, give up your upadis. I'm not Brahmin or Indian or American or Russian. So why would you think he would favor one sexual or another?
I fully agree with
that. It's all strategy.
Prabhupada, you know, he definitely wasn't like a fool, but that didn't know the difference like between gold and lumps of stone. But when he preached, he preached to the soul, and they're all part. And he saw them as servants of Krishna, and he just wanted to get them established, and they didn't care. But, you know, he traveled to the West until the last breath, practically. And he was talking about it, and he was still translating books in English. He didn't, you know, that was his mission. So, but not that that was his only concern. His concern for the whole world. So the preaching everywhere helps the preaching everywhere else. Right? I remember once a devotee told me, it was quite some time ago, he said, what's the use? We distributed so many books. That was in the 80s or something when nobody was joining. And there's no devotees. And I said, but there's so many devotees in Russia. He said, what does that have to do with it? I said, well, it's all connected. You know, like Prabhupada said, the seed was planted in New York and the tree sprouted in San Francisco. So then it was, you know, in America we did so much, but then it, for some time it sprouted, still sprouting in Russia so much. And now it's sprouting in India also, more than America. But, and it's, you know, we just have to get the Indians more and to take up this mission that they should support preaching all over the world since the Western world got them started. Prabhupada brought so much money. Right? You were in New York, right? Twice he went and took all the money for Bombay or something. They were saving for a temple and he just went and said, give it everything. But that was for us, not just for the Indians that he built Vrindavan. If we didn't have those holy places to go to, it would be very hard for us to maintain our, you know, level of energy, I think. All right? More? Okay. Is that an Indian body?
Maharaj, yesterday I was hearing my spiritual master's one lecture, Jayapataka Swami. So he was telling that Srila Prabhupada, the preaching became successful in the West. So he was just thinking that, what about the Indian brothers? So then, he didn't think much seriously about it, but sometimes it would go in his mind. So once Rukmini Dwarakanath talked to him, telling in his dream that please go back to India also and bring ISKCON there also. So then he ordered some of his disciples to go to India and start there.
Prabhupada wanted to save the whole world. That's, you know, he obviously wanted to do the West, but he wanted to save the whole world. And so India is included.
Yeah, the whole universe.
But the main thing was he wanted to save the whole world.
Right, correct. Okay, anyway, we could say many, many things, but just that's the real essence. Prabhupada, he didn't see that, you know, it's all Krishna's world. It's all, like these purports are saying, the spiritual's in the material also. Prabhupada is just looking for souls who would take to Krishna consciousness. So anywhere, you know, you have to get the whole world, and then anybody who's chanting, it helps everybody else. You get, now in India, we have so many people chanting, it's helping the whole world, purifying the whole planet. Jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Harinam Sankirtan today, 2 o'clock, right? Huh? Is that right? And we have the Harinam Ruchis here, the energy. Yeah. Leaving here at 2 o'clock? Yeah.